For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, and I'm back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, a little subdued with the news of the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. I'll let you into a bit of a secret. Since COVID, this show hasn't always been recorded in the same order you hear it in. In fact, this intro is very often the last thing recorded, as indeed it is tonight. As you will hear later on in my discussion with John Couch, recorded earlier on in the afternoon on Thursday, even before the confirmation of the announcement of the Queen's death, the rumours were of a possible cancellation of this weekend's football calendar. And even as I record this several hours later, that is still a distinct possibility as a mark of respect. So whilst we celebrate and preview this weekend's FA Trophy in this week's show, there is a possibility those games might be delayed a few days at least. That's hopefully where my line of questioning helps, as these interviews are as much about finding out about the clubs involved as the games they are playing. And this week, we've got two great managers with their own great stories, as well as great stories of their clubs' results this season so far. First up, we head to Newcastle Town. That's Town, not Toon. Up to Newcastle upon Lyme in Staffordshire, where we meet manager, director and academy chief Robin van der Laan, ahead of the FA Trophy tie against Biggleswade. He's a man with plenty of experience as a player and plenty of ambition as part owner of the club he hopes to bring more success to. Returning to the show is Paul Smith, manager at Halsoe in Town, recent semi-finalist in the FA Trophy, hoping for another great run in the competition to match their current league form that sees them unbeaten six games played. After playoff disappointment last term, the league is a priority, but who'd turn down a run in the trophy? Rounding off the show and this week's news, it's John Couch returning, the executive editor of the non-league paper, talks managerial merry-go-round and the movers and shakers in the three top tiers of the non-league tables. Plus, what we can expect to read in this weekend's paper. Plenty to entertain then, lots to inform. So sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So, the FA Trophy gets underway this week. The first qualifying round, populated by 158 clubs from Step 4 in 79 ties across the weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Big games, one and all, and for our next guest, that seems like that's all he has, week in, week out. But his side seem to be coping pretty well with them all. It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show, and a welcome to manager, to Newcastle Town manager, Mr. Robin van der Laan. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you.
It's five games unbeaten in the league in the Northern Premier Division 1 West, although four draws, plus four games now in the FA Cup. A new competition beginning this weekend in the trophy. Was that the start you'd hoped for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a good squad of players. It's probably the best group we've had since I've been at the club. It's taken a while to assemble and slowly. Yeah, we're very happy with the group of players we have, and we've started very well. And we started really the end of the last season. We finished the season with 7 points in the last three games. So, you know, we always, when we speak to the boys, and we always mention that, and you know, we're sort of 10, 11 games unbeaten now, which is a nice record to start off with.
Yeah, it's the unbeaten signs that are normally there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Now, the draws aren't so useful in the FA Trophy, of course, or even allowed. So, have spot kicks come into your training plans this week?
Yeah, well, it's something. I mean, it's something you can't really train. You can't replicate the pressures of the real scenario. So. The lads will always have a few penalties, and they get comfortable with which way they're going. But in general, it's very difficult to replicate the penalty pressures from the real scenario.
Yeah, and Sporting United, your visitors this weekend in the FA Trophy. Have you had much time to do any scouting on them?
Yeah, we've seen bits and bobs, of course, and we've got contacts in the game that side. We know that we used to play them regular in the league a few years back. One or two players are still there from the time that we used to play them. They're a good team. You know, they're strong. They've got good quality players with pace, and so we know enough about them to give them the respect they deserve. But obviously, it's all about us on the day, and if we perform to our capabilities, we've got a good chance of getting the right result.
And talking about performing on the day, I said about big games coming thick and fast, but a great win over Stafford Rangers last weekend in the FA Cup, a step above you, and I guess probably some local rivalry there as well. A great win all round, and probably puts you in a great mood going into this trophy game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a local derby. They're only 15, 20 minutes down the road. Always a big non-league club in this area. And, you know, we fancied our chances going there because we've been playing well. And, you know, to go there and deal with their aerial threat and the long throws and, you know, and hardly give a chance away throughout the game was a fantastic effort by the boys. And, you know, we thoroughly deserved the win. It ended up, you know, 2-0 is probably the most comfortable scoreline we've had this season. So, you know, the lads fancy it, anywhere we go now, we fancy we can get a result we need.
Yeah, and I think that sets up what Congleton Town, your visitors in the next round, next weekend in that, and they themselves beat I think Nantwich in there to get to this stage. So a massive game for both sides, but a massive opportunity as well for both sides to progress and earn some decent money and some decent glory for the FA Cup this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know them very well, and they know us. We always play them in pre-season. You know, we know a lot of their players and vice versa. So we're happy with the draw. It's a local derby. There should be a nice crowd coming in. And, you know, in the same token, you know, they looked at the draw and they thought, you know, that's a winnable game for them. So both clubs will fancy their chances. Again, it's whatever unfolds on the day. You know, whoever turns up and deals with the pressure's best. First goal always important, of course, in games like that. So we're looking forward to that as well. But obviously, Saturday first, and then we've got the little occasion of going to Macclesfield Town on Tuesday.
Yeah, so, it's like every day's a cup final for you guys at the moment, isn't it? You know, league leaders Macclesfield, they've only played 5 games and they're still ahead of everybody and banging in the goals. And I guess, is it like this start of the season like this, is this where a strong squad or a squad that you can rely on to take on some pressure really comes into its own?
Yeah, it's important that that I'm able to look behind me if I need to change anything, and I can trust the players on the bench to come and make an impact. And you know, that's probably what we haven't had in the past. We always had a decent first 11, and then you know maybe a 12 and maybe a 13. But if you get a couple of injuries, we always struggled with replacing our sort of starting lineup with equally quality players. And that's where we've gone a lot stronger. We had a good squad of 17, 18 players, still young. So normally what that means is touch wood, not too many muscle injuries. You know, they're still flexible and young and hungry. And, you know, the older pros or the older semi-pros, they come into it at 28, 30. They might be a little bit more prone to injury. So, we've managed that well. And now we've got the squad that we're really happy with.
Yeah, and I mentioned big games, but big games for the club off the field as well. You know, a lot of pressure for those off the field too, especially because I think the women's side are also in FA Cup action on Sunday as well against Port Vale.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a big game. There's a lot of tickets sold for that. And, you know, the ticket sales are going well. I believe we're over 500 for that game. So that'll be a fantastic occasion. Mickey's done a fantastic job assembling a very talented squad for the level we're playing at. So we fancy the chances against Port Vale in that game on Sunday. So, good luck to them. Hopefully they get well supported. I'll be there, of course, to go and support them as well. Hopefully, they can create an upset. Because there are underdogs in that game,
and of course you wear 2 hats. Well, you probably wear many more than that as well, because you're on the board as well as being in the dugout at the club. So, I mean, have you got a bed at the football club as well?
Yeah, it's busy. I mean, I do the academy as well, the education academy, but I'm a part owner of the club, and it helps me a lot because we are always priding ourselves on developing young players and giving young players an opportunity to play. I've got time to develop these players, so which is great. I know that I could lose four or five in a row and still be in the job. Because as a club, we've decided we are going with young, talented players and give them an opportunity to progress through Newcastle Town into full-time football. And that's why we have such good young players at the club.
Yeah, and plenty of experience you can give them as well, because you're no stranger to big games yourself, over 300 appearances in the Football League. I think two Wembley Cup finals in 1993 alone in the Football League Trophy and the Player Final. What about an FA Trophy visit as a manager? Would that be a perfect suite?
Yeah, that would be very nice, yes. You know, a good cup run is very much appreciated by all on the board, so I always get reminded, Rob, okay, there's a bit of money on it. You know, I said, I know. You know, we go into every game. We want to win every game we go into, and every competition we go into. And, you know, I think we've got 10 or 11 rounds left to go to Wembley. Yeah. So for the FA Cup. So, you know, the FA Trophy is the same. It's a more realistic opportunity for us. And we're treating that very serious.
And we should mention, for those not in the know, that you're Newcastle under Lyme in Staffordshire and not the North Easter. But as many of our audience, they love a weird stat. You know, it's something about non-league, isn't it? But am I correct in saying that your pitch is actually surrounded by a cycle track?
Yes, we've got a kind of a velodrome around our pitch. So it's a very unique setup. You know, we've got, you know, fantastic facilities, spend a lot of money on the facilities, you know, the bar facilities and hospitality, and you know, everything is spot on. So we've invested into the infrastructure first, and then the playing staff. So now the players, they have we spend, for instance, 140 grand on the dressing room, so the players can come into it. We've got a good pitch, great facilities for the players, and they feel like professional footballers when they come to us. And then, you know, we've got a 20-acre training ground with hopefully a 3G pitch coming on there. And we've got fantastic facilities for players to go and excel. And that's why, that's why these good young players come to us. And, you know, they get a real opportunity here.
Well, I don't know about a player. I think my days as a player are long gone, but certainly as a fan, I already want to come and watch a game up at Newcastle Town. The club in its current form, though, only created from a merger with Parkway Clayton, back in 1986, which probably seems ages ago to some of our listeners, but for, you know, certain people of a certain vintage, it's a relatively short time. The club's really come on as well. How far do you think the club can move up the pyramid?
Well, we see a trend now where, you know, we are gaining new supporters coming in. We've got a fantastic youth section, which is it's probably one of the best run clubs here in Staffordshire, with the facilities that go with it. And, you know, we had over 50 youth teams within our youth section. The ladies are going very well. The girls football, really, really big push. So, you know, with that background, you know, you're going to get more people involved within the club as well. So, you know, success always goes hand in hand with finances and income. And a big income for us is obviously people coming through the turnstile. So, you know, it's a slow process, but, you know, we obviously can see, you know, like the result against Stafford Rangers, we can see that if we add a couple of players to the squad, we could potentially go up in that league and maybe, you know, stay in the league. That's our first priority. You know, can we get in and around the playoffs? Can we go and surprise a few people? Because we still are on one of the lowest budgets in the league. So, you know, if we can go and be well organized and have the right players in the squad, you know, can we surprise a few and get close to them playoff positions?
Well, if the results weren't selling it, you certainly have. You know, it sounds a great place to be, a great place to watch some football. Robin, I wish you best of luck in the trophy this weekend and for the season going forward, FA Cup as well. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's hear from another one of those clubs preparing for this weekend's first qualifying round in the FA Trophy. And another club with a sparkling start. The last time we had him on, he led his side to the semi-finals of the FA Trophy. So let's hope we can bring some similar good luck again this season. So welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Howes Owen Tone, Mr. Paul Smith. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, it's good to get you back on, and I say sparkling start. And yeah, just a blip in the FA Cup early on, and we'll move on quickly, as you have too, because 6 wins from 6 in the league so far with a whopping 19 goals scored. That's a decent start.
Yeah, it definitely is, yes. It's we were obviously bitterly disappointed last year to lose out in the playoffs. Set a target to get promoted, so unfortunately failed last year. We've been set the same target this year, and so far, it was important we changed the squad in the summer. It obviously wasn't good enough to try and get the promotion we all craved. I felt we needed a little bit more grit, a little bit more strength and a little less flair. So we've changed the squad around a little bit. And I'm pleased with the start we've made so far.
Interesting to know, because you did do so well last year, but you were just that little bit short. But that's the playoffs as well, isn't it? And it's such a competitive division, but also a competitive league as well. Well, all the way across step 3 and step 4, even 1 and 2. There's very little between teams. Is it those small tweaks? I know managers talk about, you know, small differences in games, but how you sound like you've maybe changed your philosophy slightly to go into this season.
Yeah, massively. I think, without saying disrespectful to the squad I've got now, I think the squad I produced last year was a better footballing squad. This year, I think we've got more determination, more accountability, more desire and hunger about it. And at step 4, having been here a couple of years now, and especially without saying disrespectful again, the pitches that we come up against in some of the away games, I think it sort of looks at and tends to be those sides that are bigger and stronger and more physical that tend to sort of win out. And I think I lost a little bit of that last year. So really pleased with putting together what we have. Obviously, there's been 9 new lads that have come in and 9 have gone out. So it's been a sort of balancing act, really, just to try and bring everything together. And if I'm being completely honest, I didn't expect to be in the position we are now with 6 wins from the first 6. I thought it might take a little bit longer to get the group to gel. But fair play to them. They deserve the credits and the plaudits. They've done very, very well so far. It's just crucial now that I keep their feet on the ground, keep them working hard, keep them honest. And if I do, then I think we're in for an exciting season again.
And that's going to be hard to do, isn't it? Have you got a big squad? So because you've got some big games coming up, you've got a big season ahead. Do you need a big squad? And then is it that's where you come into your own as a manager, just to keep everybody happy?
Yeah, we've got a fantastic under-21 side that disbanded in the summer because they're at that age there. We need to move them on. But they won their league undefeated. Our 18s did very similar again last year. So we've got a fantastic crop of youngsters that are coming through at the moment that I've now got on deals at the football club that we sent out on loan to various step 5 and step 6 clubs to get some experience. So we've got those to call upon. And I think we're running with 19 first-team players at the moment. So squad-wise, I'm really happy. I'm pleased with what we've done in the summer. I think it's a strong squad. And so far, we're injury-free from the first 2 months. So it all bodes well. It's all pointing in the right direction. But as you know yourself, it can very easily turn sour, can't it, with one bad result or a couple of injuries. So it's important, like I say, we keep working hard. We don't take too much notice of what we've done so far. We just continue to look forward, take one game at a time, and make sure we keep doing what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I was talking to a manager off air earlier on in the week, and he was discussing where the season started earlier, and we've just had the closure of the transfer window, so the Football League clubs are now sort of maybe releasing more lads, and they're dropping down into non-league, and there was already a glut of people that maybe hadn't got the same non-league experience, but maybe got pro club experience looking for clubs. There's a chance that a number of clubs that maybe haven't got off to the great start that you have will change their squad around in the next few weeks, and that might have an impact on the tables.
Hugely, but like I said to someone previously, we can't worry too much about what anybody else has done. I think it's common knowledge. I'm not the sort of person to deny it. We've got a very good budget for the level that we're at. We're geared up to try and win the league, and we put a squad together to try and reach that. So I'm confident that if we can perform to where we need to perform, as a group, then we can win games, and we've proved that in the first six. So I'm not too worried about what other people do. We can't be. It's just crucial that we keep our train on the tracks and make sure that our boys are performing to their optimum. They're nice and tight, and if they are, like I said to you before, I think they're in for an exciting season, and I think we could go very close again.
Yeah, and talking of exciting season, 887 there midweek to see you beat Loughborough Dynamo 3-2. It sounds like you're great to watch too, although I think you were 3-0 up, weren't you, after 35 minutes, so maybe it was one of those where you were waiting for the final whistle to blow.
Well, first and foremost, our fan base is out of this world. I came into the football club three and a half years ago, and there was the relationship between the fans and the playing staff that was devoid. They just got relegated after five very tough years, and it was in a bit of a mess. So it was crucial to rebuild that. I think at the time the average gate was sort of 3,500, we're up to nearly 1,000 now. So it's crucial to rebuild that relationship. For me, a non-league football club is only as good as what fan base they've got, and it's crucial that rapport between club and players and fan base is there. And we've managed to get that back now with a fantastic trophy won a couple of years back that obviously you've already spoke about. So we've done that. We're playing some attractive football. We're at the top end of the division in the three seasons we've been here, although we haven't quite got over the line for various reasons, COVID not being quite good enough. So we've got that back, and they've been fantastic. And as you said, Tuesday before all the children went back to school, to have sort of nearly 900 there on a wet, cold, horrible Tuesday night is testament to how much they believe in the football club and how much they want to be here. So we're expecting another bumper crowd Saturday of over 1,000. So I can't stress how important to you that our fan base is. You know, the money they're bringing to the football club, the love and desire they've got for the football club, it makes huge differences to us. So they're fantastic and they're brilliant, and long may that continue for us.
Yeah, and you mentioned league's priority, but again, with that semi-final run, you know, 2020, you were dislodged by the semi being delayed until the September in that one, really, when there were different squads at disposal for every team in that one. But the excitement at the club that was that running through the club at that time, I sense could very easily be relit with a couple of good wins in this competition as well.
Yeah, of course. You know, we took you know, I think the crowds going away at Halifax and Barnet and Maidenhead, we took thousands there. You know, it was completely off the scale. So they're a fantastic bunch. And like we said, on the back of that run, we brought new fans into the club. We managed to get the average great gate up to nearly 1,000. And at step four, you know, there's not many clubs up and down the country at step four that average nearly 1,000 fans. So they've been brilliant. And like you said yourself, you know, the trophy is a special competition, especially for a side at our level, because it's our FA Cup, really. You know, the FA Cup, we're never going to go have a real good run in, but the FA Trophy at step four, you can have a good go at it. So like I said, we can't go take Biggles Wayne on Saturday too lightly. Yes, they probably haven't had the start that they would like. And we're, you know, again, being honest, we're probably firm favourites in that tie on Saturday. But it's crucial that we do things properly. We don't underestimate the opposition and take the game really seriously. Because if we don't, similarly to the FA Cup tie 4 weeks ago, we had our bums bit at Romulus, a side, you know, division below us that hadn't won a league game. And my boys turned up as though they thought they just needed to turn up to win. I'm hoping that's worked as a kick up the backside for them. And it has in league terms. We continue to do very well in the league. But it's crucial we don't take it easy on Saturday. We've got a big job to do. And the FA Trophy is very special to me and the football club, and one we're looking to try and go deep into.
And with that being the favourites in the game, does it help to have that home tie as well, to have your crowd with you? And you know, maybe there's less stress amongst the crowd. You know, if you go to an away game where you're the favourites, I always find as a fan I feel more on edge. So maybe a home tie actually helps you in this competition.
Well, you know yourself, and so do most, really. If you're at home and you're playing well, then the fans get behind you. If you're at home and you've had a real bad start for 10 or 15 minutes, it can go against you. So that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately. So it'll be crucial that we start well. And if we do, we'll get the fans behind us, and hopefully we can go on to get a positive result. Like I said, what's crucial is our performance. We're at a point at the moment that the first six, seven games of the season that we've played in League and Cup, it stood out a country mile for me that when we're playing well and doing our jobs, we've won games of football. When we haven't, or our standards have dropped, then we find ourselves in tighter games. So it's just very, very important. I'm on the way into training, so we're going in tonight to get things set up. And we work hard this evening and get things prepared, ready for Saturday. And like I say, if we do things properly, I'm sure we're capable of getting a positive result.
Yeah, and this being the first round of the competition, of course, makes it a little bit weird for all of us because you've got the second qualifying round drawn already, and the winners of your ties face that I think the winners of Grantham Town and Sutton Coalfield. And by chance, we had the Grantham boss on last week talking about their pitch and the Crows ripping it up. But the great thing about the FA Trophy is you do get to meet new faces and indeed go to new places. But have you had a chance to do your full scouting as you would on a league side on Biggles Way coming to you at the weekend?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I've got a real good group around me, and we've got a couple of scouts that go and watch all our opposition league and cup. So yes, we've had them watch last week. So we'll have a little bit of detail about them. Obviously, when you watch them in one game, so we have to take it to with a pinch of salt to an extent. But yes, we've had them watched. So we know a little bit. We've got a bit of background from them so far for this season. We spoke with a couple of their opposition managers this year. So yeah, we try and go into deep detail. So we're hopeful with that and with what we look to try and do. We'll try and identify their weaknesses and attack those and hopefully look after their strengths, and we'll see how it pans out. So we've done all the homework we can do. What's crucial now, like I keep saying, I don't want to sound like a broken record, is that we need to do what we need to do. And I'm confident with this group that I've got at the moment, if they do their jobs properly on Saturday, then we can get a positive result.
Well, you see, do seem to be doing what you have to do. As you mentioned, you've been at the club since April 2019 now, and on the soot field, you've certainly been pulling up trees, maybe just falling a little bit short. But off the field, the club also seemingly getting set as well to maybe push back up the pyramid. Is that helping with the fan support? But is the club ready to go up to that next level as well?
No, it's by miles, yes. We've got two unbelievable owners at the football club that took over. Pretty similar to when they bought me. I think I was their first or second appointment. So we've got two owners there that are desperate to get the club up in the divisions. They've completely cleared the debt of the football club. And the club's earning money now, and it's the first time in a number of years that's happened. They're hell-bent on getting this club up one, two, three, maybe four divisions. So they're doing everything they can. They've backed me 100% with everything that I've done. Since I walked through the football club, and you couldn't want to manage a club with better owners. So the place is geared up, the fan base is in place. It's just important, having gone so close last year, that we look to fulfil the ambitions of them and myself and the players and the fans this year. So a lot of pressure on us, but at the end of the day, you'd prefer to be in this sort of job and this sort of position than a side that are sort of swimming in the middle of the table or towards the bottom end of it. So, you know, with a big fish in the division, I don't underestimate that, but I also don't hide from the fact. So we're geared up for it. It's important now we all do our jobs and get the just rewards for all this hard work that we're putting in.
Yeah, and I think it is just rewards, isn't it? I talk a lot on this show about making your own luck, and you do seem to be getting all your ducks in the row. You mentioned the 21s, but it's also the 18s. I think they've got a big FA Youth Cup game coming up as well this week. It's a big time at the club at the moment, and it's nice to see, as you mentioned, you know, that almost 900 people there midweek when we hear about other clubs maybe struggling with attendances. If you get things right, fans will come. Fans will come and enjoy non-league football as we all have over the years.
Yeah, and if you look at it as well, you know, the devastation of us losing out in the playoffs last year, it could have been very easy for the crowds to drop off or to be sort of despondent in the summer. But as soon as I sat down with the owners and we worked out what we were going to do, whether I was going to stop, whether I wasn't going to stop, what we were going to sort of look to try and do this year, as soon as that was sort of put to bed and announced, then all of a sudden then it's all back up and running again, and you look at the club and the fan base, and like I say, it could be very easy to be despondent after that. It hasn't been, and probably even more so, everyone's jumped on it even more this year. So like I say, no one's got a divine right to get promoted, no one's got a divine right to win games of football. It's all about hard work, it's all about putting the jigsaw together and putting the pieces in place. As a football club from top to bottom, we are trying to do that. Yes, we've made mistakes, yes, we'll continue to make mistakes, but it's a real good football club from top to bottom, and one that is pulling in the same direction and trying to get the rewards that we're after. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it won't be for the want of trying.
And as I said earlier to someone, if you make a mistake, put your hands up, and that's the way to move forward. And I love your attitude, Paul. It's always great to get you on the Non-League Football Show. I wish you well at the weekend and for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll speak to you again before the season's out. But thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
You're a star. Thank you ever so much for your coverage. We appreciate it.
Time to head on over then to Non-League Paper Towels. So welcome back once again to the Non-League Show. Non-League Show. The Non-League Papers editor, executive editor. It's Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know. You know, I'm down in the New Forest. The weather here at the moment, I'm looking past. I've not seen Noah, but I've seen a couple of donkeys go past and a couple of sheep, and I'm a little bit worried.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's been biblical, I think, is the word. today, I'm sort of slightly more north of you, but no, it's been pretty intermittent. But when it does rain, God, has it rained? Yeah, we've seen quite a lot over the last few days. Yeah, there must be some pitches out there that may be a bit questionable. So yeah, we're certainly keeping one eye open anyway.
Yeah, well, I watched our first teamers and some of our youth teams train on Tuesday in the pouring rain from inside my office in the warmth and dry. And I loved playing football in this sort of weather after it had rained, not while it was still raining, because yeah, it's sort of that sort of rain where you can't see the ball because the rain's just pouring down your face. And as you say, that hopefully there won't be too many games off with the rain this weekend, but obviously other situations across the country might overtake us on that front.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a concern we've got at the moment that if dear old Her Majesty passes away, then there may be a period of mourning, national mourning. So yeah, that's something that that we are aware of. So yeah, all we can say really on that front is you know, just if the worst was to happen, then keep an eye out on various social media outlets and your league websites and things, and you know, just if there's any developments and any movements in this weekend's matches.
Yeah, and it potentially impact on games being played or not being played. It's a big weekend as well this weekend. We had the FA Cup last week, FA Cup draw out this weekend. I have suggested to people at the FA that if you hold these draws in the open air, there'd be less questions made about various clubs that suddenly be coming up against one another. Farnborough against Hayes and Yedding United are tying the next round, which... I think people jokingly suggested would be make a great tie before the balls were pulled out. It's, you know, does fate play a hand? Maybe it does. But it doesn't. When they hold these rules behind closed doors, it doesn't help the conspiracy theories, does it?
No, it doesn't. It was actually quite laughable because there was certain people on, you know, again, I'll just. Just pull Farmer versus Hayes and Yedding out now and be done with it. And, you know, lo and behold, an hour later, it was Farmer versus Hayes and Yedding, which caused sort of a few smiles. But, I suppose it's luck of the draw. But, yeah, as you say, you know, when they are behind closed doors, it's, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? But, there are some... Very good draws, though. Actually, there's quite a lot of step five interest in there still, and you know, the game we've been looking at this week was Lichfield City against Stalbridge Swifts, two step five teams from the Midland League, and the winners will play will entertain Boston United, which in the next round, which is a stonking game for them, but they had the replay. We play on Tuesday night, which Lichfield just managed to edge 1-0. So, good luck to them. They've got a really good FA Cup FA Cup visit of a team three levels above, and yeah, hopefully they get a nice big crowd, and yeah, their FA Cup dream can start here.
Yeah, but Boston United, an interesting club this week as well. Paul Cox, a torrid start in the National North there after a playoff heartbreak last season, and his seven-game opener without the win, just too much for the board there, and his departure quickly followed by a new appointment of Ian Culverhouse along with his counterpart assistant Paul Bastock, who himself is, of course, a Boston legend.
That's right, yeah, Paul Bastock is... I think he's still playing, isn't he, Paul Bastock? He seems to have been around a long, long time. But yeah, Paul Cox, obviously, non-league in my eyes. He won't be he won't be long without a job on. I'm pretty sure. And Ian Culverhouse, as we said, we say that's someone who's who's been there, done it as well. And he's obviously of Kings Lynn, fame. And I think it's a decent appointment. And good luck to him.
Yeah, and it does seem that gone are the days where a couple of months passed before a club appointed a replacement for the manager. The next one invariably lined up. And we spoke last week of a couple of managerial chops and changes. Michael Ellison leaving City of Liverpool. He's been replaced this week by Paul McNally, who in turn has left Skelmersdale United to take up that role. And in turn, Richard Brodie has returned to Skem to fill the vacancy there.
Yes, we've got a nice big piece on Richard Brodie. We spoke to him today. First managerial appointment, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. Obviously, he's a man of many clubs. He's been around the non-league scene for a long, long time as a top striker for York City and the like. I knew Richard from a brief spell at Aldershot, and he was always very good to deal with. He was a very nice guy, very knowledgeable guy as well. So I think it's a good appointment for him. He's starting at step five, so he can learn his stripes from there. And I think that could be an interesting appointment, and hopefully that's the platform for future success.
Yeah, and it's always better for non-league legends, as he is as a player, to start out at a slightly lower level to learn the frailties of being a manager. I think when you're a player, you don't always see all the other bits that go into being a manager, and it's I always think it's very difficult for a club, for a player to move from playing at a certain level and then immediately become a manager at that same level, because they're maybe not so a fay with the other difficulties. And playing at a higher level, you've got players with slightly different problems than you will have at step five. And I'm sure, again, having interviewed him a couple of times over the years, that he's got all the right attributes to be a great manager going forward. A few others making way as well this week. Paul Phillips leaving Matlock Town this week. Dave Cook, he's gone at Nantwich Town after a home defeat in the FA Cup. And Martin Carruthers departs at Ilkeston Town, despite him winning an FA Cup replay this week. I see former Notts County player Ben Turner's gone in at Ilkeston as the interim gaffer there. So, again, those non-league players moving into management.
Yes, Ben is very, very similar, obviously, to Richard Brodie. Good first gig for him. Again, someone who's been there, done it, and hugely experienced with his time at Notts County. Excellent appointment. I was quite surprised actually that Martin Carruthers left Ilkeston, but it's been a week of unexplained and strange decisions. So we'll sort of wait to see what emanated from that. And as you say, it was the first guy you were.
Paul Phillips has gone at Matlock, and Dave Cook out at Nantwich.
Dave Cook, obviously, talk about non-league legends. He's one of them. I think he was. The longest serving manager, I think, certainly at step four level for a number of years until two step five managers come up this year. So he's someone who's been around for a long, long time. And that was a little bit sad. I mean, Dave Cook and Nantwich Town are two things that are sort of like synonymous with each other. So that's the start of a new era there. And good luck to. Except in those boots, because they're pretty big shoes to fill.
Probably squelchy boots this week with that rain as well. But I'm looking at the tables as well. The National League table's beginning to take a very familiar look, really. I mean, Chesterfield, Wrexham, Notts County, Solihull, Moors, Boreham Woods, a top five many may have predicted, although it's still very early days. And we got Notts and Bromley, who are currently eighth. That's the BT Sport game on Saturday. It's going to be a busy week in that division, because we also got a full programme midweek as well.
That's right. I mean, we've got to, we obviously put on our front page on Saturday high fives or five star. And it basically, it was the five star shows from Notts County, Wrexham, and Solihull Moors, all of which scoring five goals and really setting a marker, really sort of laying down a marker for the season. They're obviously the big guns. They're up and running now. And obviously, Chesterfield at the top as well. They were. They've had an excellent start under Paul Cook, and there's plenty of early movers, but you just get a feeling that that those big five are going to be tough to dislodge now, don't you? And and the way they're going about things at the moment, Wrexham in particular look in awesome form. Notts County are flying at the moment, and Solihull seem to be scoring goals for fun. So these next few weeks with some big games coming up, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and then you look down, all across the pyramid, but National North, we've mentioned Boston's poor start. You've got Bradford Park Avenue there, still also without a win. But Kings Lynn still unbeaten at the top. But I did see that they were scared a little, weren't they, last weekend? I think they were 3-0 up at Chester, only to draw 3-3. But again, I guess to stay in a game like that, it shows the unit and the likelihood that they're still going to be around there come the end of the season, fighting for that top spot or at least the playoff spots.
That's right. I mean, my first reaction to that was all credit to Chester. 3-0 down, home to the league leaders. You'd probably,
it could have been another one of those five star games, couldn't it? Yeah,
incredible game. To come back 3-3 shows that they got character. But they are obviously Kings Lynn have hit the ground running, haven't they? And I think one of their goals, Whittington, the manager's son, scored from the halfway line on Saturday. So yeah, I viewed that goal on YouTube, and it's a hell of a strike. So good luck to them. They were quite unlucky, really, to go down last year. They put up a real fight towards the end of the season. Just ran out of time, really, to claw those points back. And they're certainly in the running for an immediate return.
Yeah, and then in the south, Ebbsfleet still remain the highest placed non-league club with their 100% win record intact, and 7 wins from 7 is impressive, particularly in such a tight division. But then you look as well, Havant and Waterlooville and Worthing are also unbeaten and fast on their heels in that division. So that's going to be a competitive one again through the season. But Weymouth sadly still without a win.
Yes, that's a strange one, really, isn't it? You'd expect Weymouth really to be sort of one of the front runners in that division. It's not quite clicked for them yet so far. I think they've got too much quality really to be suffering like that for too long. I expect them to find their feet, I think, pretty soon. Ebbsfleet, fantastic start, seven wins out of seven, and you mentioned Havant. Well, Havant play Ebbsfleet this week. It's our star game in the non-league paper, and it promises to be an absolute cracker, doesn't it?
It is one of the most exciting starts of the season across all the pyramid that I can remember, actually. And then looking at step three as well, we've got the Northern Premier League. Yeah, South Shields top and unbeaten. And at the bottom, you've got Whitby Town propping up the table without a win. In the Isthmian Premier, I know they've been signing players and they started making changes last year under the new management. Potters Bar Town, though, top of the table. That's maybe the strangest table, I think, because it's clubs like Folkestone and Invicta are in the playoff zone, but much further down Kingstonia, I think, mid-table. And they're the only unbeaten clubs in that division. But you always look towards the end of the season, the clubs that have the least defeats against them are normally the clubs that are challenging for honours come the end of the season.
That's right. I mean, there's the old saying that consistency is the key, isn't it? And I think certainly in those step three divisions, as you probably know with Hayes, if you can put a steady run together like Torres last year in the south, in the Southern Premier South, then you know you could really make good headway. And you know, Potterstar had an excellent start, and you know, they probably weren't expected to be to be up there at this early stage. But as I say, it is only an early stage, so the hard work really for them starts now. And you know, there's some big clubs in that division. It's me and Premier clubs who will be looking again back into step two. So it's a long old road ahead for them. But what a start that Potters Park made. And you know, it's good to see an unfashionable small club up there, and you know, putting a real good run together. And apparently, by all accounts, it's not a run that's gone unnoticed. Crowds have gone up a little bit, and you know, there's a real sort of feel good factor around the place at the moment. So yeah, good luck to them, and I hope long may it continue.
Yeah, yeah, and across the Southern Premier as well, in the Central Premier, you've got Nuneaton Borough, they're top, but there seems to be a slightly them and us maybe developing in that division, because the four clubs in the it's an embryonic relegation zone, isn't it? But four clubs at the bottom there are all without a win, and where we're seeing the other divisions are a lot tighter. And we've got a similar situation in the Southern Premier South. You've got Western unbeaten Western Supermare at the top, closely followed by Truro, of course. And the bottom three teams in the Southern Premier South are all still without a win. It's just maybe a quirk of fate, or is there those travelling distances maybe in the Southern slightly creating them and us? I'm not quite sure.
I think that's an issue with the Southern. I think it always has been with the travelling distances. That there's still a lot of very long trips in that division, especially in the South. There's a lot of Somerset based clubs, and even Merthyr Town right over the Welsh border. So yeah, it's a tough old league. It's a long slog, and you know, it just goes to show that as we just mentioned, you know, the importance of putting together a little steady run doesn't need to be win every game, but if you can win your home games and pick up points here and go away from home, then it really does make a difference, because consistency is the key. And when you've got long Tuesday night trips, and that's the time you really need to sort of get your hands dirty as such, and pull out all these points, because it's very, very tough to. Tough division, and you know, it's a grueling season, I think, at that level, certainly in the Southern League.
Yeah, and I think with those leagues starting earlier as well, and you know, we're not sure how the weather's going to pan out. You know, what impact maybe the World Cup might have on it, but it is going to be a long season on the non-league players this year, with you know, their commitments beyond the football clubs as well. And yeah, on a slightly more sour note, we've spoken too often in the past year about the level of violence appearing on the terraces, but at the weekend that seemed to spill a little bit further, and police are investigating claims that an unnamed Chesterfield player was involved in a vicious assault which left Oldham forward Hallam Hope with serious injuries, ended up being hospitalised. It was attacked in the staff car park outside Boundary Park following Saturday's Vanarama National League game between the two clubs. Obviously, we can't say too much on the matter, but I guess we should wish Hope all the best and a quick recovery. And yeah, just hope that this element of... just an unwanted element of violence that's sort of creeping into the non-league game creeps away a lot faster than it's turned up.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we've touched upon it a few times actually the last few weeks, and you know, since really the playoffs last year, where there was fan behaviour, and you know, it's dragging non-league name into the mud. You know, there's a proud name that bases itself on pure football and pure and honest football, and a close-knit community feel, and it's going that way at the moment in some elements. Saturday wasn't a good day at all, was it? With the Oldham incident, and as you just said, against Chesterfield, and there was an incident also at Yeovil, where video footage of racist abuse towards Yorkshire now. John Lewis has emerged, and they're investigating that as well. So yeah, actually wasn't a good day for our pure game. And hopefully, as you say, you know, the amount of times that this is highlighted and investigated, then hopefully, you know, we can all help each other and get our game back in order again.
Yeah, and a few weeks ago we had this FA campaign and launch, and you support all the clubs coming together, all the leagues and Premier League as well, and you know, trying to make people aware that, you know, violence and the misbehaviour amongst fans and running onto the pitch and that it's not going to be tolerated. But it is, as much as you know, it's galling, it is for all of us as fans as well to help stamp it out. So if you hear something, report it, deal with it, make sure that you know, this element isn't allowed to ruin the beautiful game as we love it at our level.
100%. Couldn't agree more. That's a point we've made this week in this week's non-league paper. You know, obviously there have been a few incidents, certainly of a racist nature, which sadly does go on more than we'd like to think. And our message simply what you just given: if you see anything in your ground or hear anything, or you know, report it to a club or official or a member of staff or even a match referee. Just someone, just get it out there and let's stamp it out.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure plenty of report on this weekend again. Hopefully, we got FA Trophy, a first qualifying round, all those ties going on there. Anything else that any juicy interviews that you've got lined up already for this weekend's paper?
We've been to Thetford Town, which is the hometown team of Liz Truss, and we've been talking about how Liz can help her hometown team and other teams of similar size in and around the country, and how she could even be a saviour of football. So yeah, we've been sort of delving into that prime ministerial change. We've also spotted this or found the guy who trained up Graham Potter, obviously. Yeah. Chelsea's new manager from Brighton. So yeah, we've sort of delved a little bit into Graham Potter's past, and hope we can that story's still being written now, but yeah, hopefully we can give like a nice background piece really into how Graham Potter become Chelsea manager and probably one of the country's top young coaches, isn't he? He's really coming to himself. He's got big non-league backgrounds. That's a nice tick in our box as well.
And that's why we love non-league, and that's why we love the non-league paper every weekend, because every story's got a non-league angle. And whether the football of the higher echelons wants to admit it, they have a lot to thank us for. We have a lot to thank you for as well, Mr. Goucher. Thank you very much, joining us on the non-league football show. Please go and buy the paper at the weekend. Enjoy it, and thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. All the best.
And that then is it for this week. Thanks as ever to my guests. Good luck to all those involved in the FA Trophy if these ties get played this weekend. And good luck to anybody else also in league action. Plenty of stuff heating up, as we mentioned with John Couch, across pretty much all the tables in the pyramid. It's going to be an exciting season ahead. I'm sure many a disruption ahead too. So plenty to keep us all on our toes. But I do once again thank you all for listening. It is important to myself and the others that are involved in getting this program out and about. Don't forget, tell your friends, share the pod, because it really helps us all, and hopefully will help us secure another new sponsor in the coming weeks. You can, of course, follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audioboom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Joe's, Savin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. I've clearly had somebody else's teeth in all episode this week. Hopefully I'll get those fixed for next week. Stay safe, thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.